So, for those of you who don't know me, most of you do, I'm Jesse. I am up here because I am a ministry student here, so that's why I get the chance to be up here. So, thanks for listening to me. As far as announcements go, only thing is the domestic mission apps are due soon. If you're interested in that, talk to Mike.
They're due the 18th, so if you're interested, I need to know. We need to talk about apps soon.
Okay. There's other stuff, but it's up there, so you saw that, I'm sure. Tonight, we are going to be in John chapter 10, but I will pray, and then we'll get started. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for a chance to come together and look at your word. Maybe a little unusual night with dinner and a Bible study, but thanks that you give us this group to fellowship with. Pray that as we come to your word now, that we would have open hearts, that I would speak well, that you would just teach us, and that we would hear from you, that this wouldn't just be a routine Wednesday night, because if that's the case, we might as well not be here. Thanks for all that you do for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so today we are going to be in John chapter 10, like I said. But before we get there, I'm going to start by asking a question. You don't have to answer it. And that question is going to be familiar to some of you if you've spent much time talking to Seth. And that question is, if you could be any kind of animal, what would you be? If you guys don't know Seth, he asked that question a lot. Might be interesting to talk to him after. I bet that it is pretty rare that he gets the answer of sheep. Maybe occasionally, but I would say for the most part, that's probably not a common response. And I think that's because really there's nothing that alluring or appealing about sheep. They might look cute and cuddly on TV, but really the truth is that that's not what sheep are. They're kind of stupid, actually. They're stubborn. They're really dirty because their wool, or is it wool?
Yeah.
Sheep have wool. Gets, you know, really far out there. So they really get dirty. They're wayward. They easily wander off. They're easily frightened and confused. Actually, looking into this, I found out that sheep have been known to run into rocks and knock themselves out. They also, even worse, they'll just kind of walk off a cliff and fall to their death. Which, really, there's a story. In 2005, there's these shepherds in Turkey, and they're watching their flock, and there's a sheep. You know, it's just kind of by the edge. Next thing you know, it walks off. They're kind of wondering what they should do, and then more just start following. And eventually hundreds of sheep walk off this cliff, 400 sheep fall and die. And then another 1,100 sheep followed them, but they didn't die because their fall was softened by the 400 dead sheep. That's a true story if you want to look it up. There's pictures and everything. It's pretty gross. But, so that's to say that sheep aren't that smart and that they follow the crowd. You know, they followed that one sheep without really much thought to the consequences. Sheep are also pretty much defenseless. The only thing they can do is run away. That's all they got. So they're dependent on others for protection. They're dependent on others for guidance. So all that is pretty negative about sheep. And yet, I think most of us here know that in the Bible, we are continually referred as sheep, over and over. Some examples, Ezekiel 34:31, you are my flock, the sheep of my pasture. 1 Peter 2:25 says, for you were continually straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd. And then one more, Psalm 78:52, but he led forth his people like sheep and guided them in the wilderness. Like I said, that's just a handful of many, many other verses. Unfortunately, I think that the description of us as sheep is true with all the negative things that I said and all. I think we're stubborn like sheep. We don't like change. I don't like change. Most of you know that. I'm kind of famous around here for not liking change. Sheep are actually known to not leave their pasture because they don't like change. So they'll eat all their grass and then they'll die. And really, like us, I think that we don't like change. We'll run out of nutrients, and we won't change anything, and we will it'll lead to our spiritual death as well. Also, I think that we know that people like to follow with very little thought of the consequences. I'm teaching at a high school right now, and you can see that everywhere. People will blindlessly follow their peers without thinking about what it's going to mean for them. I haven't seen people blindlessly follow people off cliffs, but I have seen people led to spiritual death because of it, because they'll just follow what someone else is doing without putting much thought into it at all. Isaiah 53:6 says that we all, like sheep, have gone astray. So that's we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned his own way. So we're like those sheep in Turkey. We want to follow the crowd, and we follow the crowd instead of the shepherd. As you can see, we're going to get there eventually. And many times that results in our own destruction. We also said sheep are defenseless. All they do is run from problems. How many of us come to a problem? All we do, we run away from it. We don't want to face it. Again, leading not to any growth, not to any good things, but only our own destruction. So I think it's safe to say that when we're called sheep, it's not necessarily a compliment to us. It's not talking about how humans are so cute and how we've really got things down and how we really listen to God and we're meek and things like that. But I think it is instead a concern for our helplessness, for our weakness, for really our need of guidance, for our need of a shepherd. Because without that, we are basically dumb, defenseless, and directionless without the guidance of our shepherd. But the cool thing is that despite that, despite all those bad things about us, you know, despite our dumbness, our directionless, our defenselessness, that's got to be a word, we have a good shepherd. We can have Christ, a shepherd that provides the guidance that we need, the defense that we need, the direction that we need, and really all that we need, despite all of our shortcomings of sheep, and most importantly, providing the salvation that we need. So we're going to be looking at that in John chapter 10, which we are going to look at verses 1 through 18. And the hope for this is that this will be an encouraging thing. Justin gave me a few short directions. Should be short. We'll see if I can do that. I think I can. And it should be encouraging. I know that this passage is encouraging. We're going to be looking at basically four different things that Jesus does for us as our good shepherd. And then we're also going to look at how we should live in light of those. You'll see as we get there that all of these could go much more in depth. We're going to cover four things in rocket speed time. So let's read this and then we'll talk about it. John chapter 10, verse 1. We're going to read the whole thing, 1 through 18, and then we'll come back. So, John chapter 10. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and his sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them, because we tend to not understand. We're good at not understanding. Then Jesus said to them again, "Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and we will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep, but a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and they will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. So, like I said, we're going to look at four things that Jesus does as the good shepherd. You'll see he calls himself the good shepherd in this passage. If you just look at verses 1 through 1 and 2, before we get into those, it tells us that Jesus is the true, legitimate shepherd. He enters through the door that was prepared, basically, is what it says. That gets into Old Testament prophecy, and Jesus came the way he was supposed to, and that the other people didn't. So that's just to say that Jesus is our good shepherd. He came the way that was according to God's will, unlike the Pharisees, who he's actually dealing with if you went back and looked at chapter 9, which we're not going to do because that would break the quick thing. So the first thing that I want to talk about that Jesus does as our good shepherd is that he speaks to us, that we hear his voice and we know his voice. If you look in verses 3 and 4, that's what it says. The sheep hear and know his voice. That should be great news for us. That should be encouraging news for us. Jesus is the creator, sustainer of everything, and he speaks to us, and we can speak to him. That should encourage us. I don't think there's any question, if you read in the Bible, that Jesus speaks to us. I think that's pretty clear. I don't think people would really argue with that. I think the question really is, are we hearing? You know, are we listening? So that gets into our response to that. And really, to hear God's voice, I broke this down into three simple things that we can do to help with that, so that we can really hear the shepherd's voice when he talks to us, so that we can really be his sheep. Because if we are his sheep, we will hear his voice, as it says, and we'll know his voice. The first thing, we have to want to hear. We have to be willing and eager to hear his voice. A lot of times we're not like that. A lot of times we don't want to hear what he's going to say because we're not going to agree with it. I think that happens a lot for me. So really, first thing we need to do, we need to want to hear his voice. We need to be willing and eager to hear from him. Second thing, we need to take time to listen. I think that is especially hard in our culture. How many of us, when you wake up in the morning, how many of you know exactly how every minute of your day should happen because you have a lot to do? Is that just me? I think that we need to take time to listen. We need to slow down. To hear God's voice, we need to be patient. You know, God doesn't typically send text messages or emails. You know, that's not how he speaks to us. So we need to slow down. We need to remember his timing to hear him. The last thing that I want to say about hearing his voice, like I said, all of these we could talk about for a long time. Keep a healthy distance from the world. Not so that you're some crazy religious person off in the commune. We don't want that. But you need to stay away from distractions. Stay away from the weights that will keep us from hearing from God. And we're so easily distracted. We talked about that at street level, those of you who were there. We like our entertainment, and we're easily distracted. And when we are too distracted by everything that's going on, we don't hear God. It's hard to hear, you know, God's still small voice when we have other things screaming in our face. And we need to be, if we want to hear God's voice, if we want to be his sheep, we need to be willing to distance ourselves from those things, even if it might not be that enjoyable. So, hear God's voice, we need to cultivate an open mind. We need to want to hear from him. We need to limit our distractions, and we need to take time. All of that, I think, is hard to do with our nature, because we don't want to take time. We don't want to be patient. People aren't patient. I don't know anyone who is especially patient by, you know, naturally. So, going on in verse 5, it says, "They will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." I think that should be true for us as God's sheep as well. Not that we don't know the voice of strangers, because we should talk to people. That's good. But we shouldn't be so distracted by strangers that when there's other sinful callings in our life, that we don't still hear God's voice. So We need to hear from God because Jesus is our good shepherd and he wants to speak to us, and his sheep will hear his voice and listen to him. Second thing that Jesus does is our good shepherd. He knows us. If you look at verse 3, it says that Jesus, as our good shepherd, calls us each by name. Then if you go down to verse 14, it says that he knows his sheep and that he is known by his own. I think we know that shepherds would know their sheep well. If you guys know, like back biblical times, shepherds, they slept in the pen with their sheep to keep them safe. They knew their sheep well. They spent a lot of time with their sheep. And that should be the same with us. Now we know that Jesus knows us. Jesus knows everything. So Jesus knows us. He knows us intimately. He knows things that we don't know about ourselves. He knows things that no one else, not your closest friend, knows. Not your spouse. He knows us. There's no question about that. But do we know him, and do we encourage that relationship? That's what we need to do on our part as a sheep. I think that can be hard for us because it's going to take time. And again, we need to spend time in God's word. We need to spend time praying. We need to spend time with him to get to know him. And when we do that, we're going to be incredibly blessed. It's not going to be something that's hard for us. So if we really want to be his sheep, we will get to know him. 2 Peter 3:18 tells us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We should grow in our knowledge and grow in our closeness with him. So, how would we do that? We already talked about it. Spend time in his word. Spend time praying. Spend time with his people. That's a good way to get to know more about God, is be around God's people. Philippians 3:10 tells us another, but maybe less popular way to get to know Christ better. It says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his suffering, becoming like him in his death. So we can share in his suffering. Another way to get to know our good shepherd better. Okay? We're going to go on to the third thing. The third thing that the good shepherd does for us is lead us. Verse 3 says, Jesus leads us out. And verse 10, which to me is possibly one of the most encouraging verses in the entire Bible, says that Jesus came that we may have life and that we may have it more abundantly. Psalm 16:11 says, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Then the verse, most of us probably know it, Proverbs 3:5-6 tells us to trust in the Lord with all our hearts and lead not on our own understanding, but in all our ways to acknowledge him, and he will direct our path. The good shepherd's going to lead us. That's what shepherds do. You know, that's why they have the staff with the hook, so that they can lead their sheep. They wrap it right around its neck and it'll lead them. Verse 8 says that those that came before Christ, and I would say a lot of that came after Christ, were only thieves and robbers. They seek to manipulate us and steal and destroy. And basically, they don't want to lead us into the abundant life that Christ has for us. And how many of us don't want to believe that? We fail to believe that Jesus really leads us to an abundant life. I know when I first started coming around church here, I thought that if I did everything that Jesus wanted me to do, it would be this boring, miserable life that I would not want to live. I thought he would lead me to eating bugs in Africa, right? That's what Jesus does. But that's not the case. We so easily think that at every point in our life that the world is going to promise some pleasure, some adventure, maybe opportunities that will give us recognition, power, wealth. And we follow those things without realizing that they only lead to our disappointment. They only lead to really our death. And I think a lot of us can attest to that. I mean, for me, I followed all those things. I sought for recognition. I sought material wealth, power. Somehow I'm sure I sought for power. And it led to nothing. It led to, the world might call it depression. I'll just say I was sad. But it really led to nothing. And it's only once we come to realize that Jesus is where we're going to find that abundant life can we have it. I think this can be a dangerous one for us, especially if you're a regular here. You can think, well, I already know this. I know that Jesus has the abundant life. You know, I've heard this. Justin's taught me this. This is something we know. And we might know it in our minds, but how many of us will easily start pursuing those things without even realizing it? And all of a sudden, our lives are looking completely different than when we thought we were submitted to God. All of a sudden, we kind of quit. We were no longer led by our good shepherd, and instead led by all these worldly pursuits. I think we easily can sneak into those without even knowing. So I think even those of you who might know that intellectually, we should think about that. Are we really, really being led by Jesus? Now, I think it's worth mentioning that, you know, this abundant life is not always going to be easy. It's not always going to be material wealth. It's not going to be health. In the Bible's full of examples. Pretty much every apostle ends up dying a pretty horrible death, or at least being tortured at some point. You know, Paul's the easy one. He was in jail. He was in prison. And from the outside, that might look like complete despair, might look like just depravity. But really, I don't think any of those people would regret it. I can tell you that I don't regret no longer chasing those things, but instead having Jesus follow me. There's true joy, there's lasting joy, there's fulfillment that you can't find anywhere else. So we need to let our good shepherd lead us. We need to not be afraid of where he's going to bring us and trust that he really does mean what he says, that he is going to lead us into abundant and full life that we couldn't have in any other way. Another verse that I think a lot of us are familiar with, Jeremiah 29:11. "For I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord, plans for good and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." Again, verse we might know, but do we trust it? Do we believe it? Do our lives show that we believe it? Are we letting Jesus lead us into things that might not look easy, might not look comfortable? Or are we too afraid? Are we afraid to let the good shepherd lead us? Okay, the fourth thing, and I would say by far the most important thing that the good shepherd does for us, you can find is that he lays down his life for us. Verse 11, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Therefore, my Father loves me because I lay down my life." Oh, that's in verse 17. Whoops. So those are the two verses that I got that out of. The good shepherd lays his life down for us. He sacrifices his life for us, and that's truly the most wonderful gift. It's the most amazing of these things that the good shepherd does for us, and probably it's the thing that we deserve the least out of all of what he does for us. He willingly, lovingly lays down his life to die for us. And in doing so, he, as verse 9 says, becomes the door that we can enter through to find salvation. So what would our response be to this? I would say that our response to this should be what the entire Christian life is all about. Our entire Christian life should be lived out as a response to Jesus laying down his life for us. All the things we already talked about should be a response to this. But if I was going to be specific, I guess I would say repentance. The life of a Christian in light of what the Good Shepherd has done for us, that he laid down his life for us, that he willingly laid down his life to protect us, to save us. It says in here that the shepherd protects from the wolves. Jesus willingly laid down his life to protect us from the wolves of sin and the consequences of that sin. And when we realize that, we'll live a life of repentance, a continual life of repentance. Acts 3:19 says, "Repent, then turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord." I think that should be exactly what our life looks like once we realize that the Good Shepherd has laid down his life for us. We should repent from our sins, turn away from them, even when we don't want to, and turn to God, so that our sins may be wiped out. And then, as it says, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. That goes back to the last thing, that times of refreshing will come. that will find an abundant life. So, the last in recap is that Jesus is our good shepherd. He wants to talk to us. He wants to speak to us. And if we're his sheep, we'll want that too. We'll want to speak to him. We'll want to be close to him. The good shepherd knows us, and we'll want that too. We'll want to know him, and we'll do what it takes to know him better. We'll spend time with his people. We'll spend time in his word. We'll spend time in the presence of God. We'll slow our life down to hear from him so that we can know him. And are we going to let him lead us? Are we going to really let Jesus lead us into this abundant life? Despite when it looks hard, despite when we don't want to, are we going to trust that Jesus and Jesus alone is our good shepherd that has an abundant life for us, a life that he has planned only for us, or are we not going to trust him? And lastly, are we going to realize that he laid down his life for us? And will we live in light of that every day? Will all of our actions be influenced by realizing what Christ has done for us? So I hope that was encouraging. Like I said, I was just going to keep it short. Remember that Jesus is our good shepherd. Even when it doesn't seem like it, Jesus is our good shepherd. I'll pray and then we will be done.